At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for a family of 6 with 3 generations, another family wanting to replace their Nissan Leaf, and a man looking for a used EV for his son. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast, where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 37. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. If you're looking for your own battery bargain recommendation, send us a 1-minute video or an email with a couple short paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've edited these emails for length and clarity. Ready to go car shopping, Martin?
As always at this time of the week, my favorite thing to do is spend somebody else's money.
And our audience too, you know, you're out there, please feel free to help us along, kick in on the comments. But before we get to our first email, we had last week we had a case from Jason, a Ford Mustang Mach-E owner who was trying to have Ford buy back his Mach-E. He was experiencing some issues and had kept it in the service for some time. Apparently,
I think the phrase was several weeks they've had it for, which is why I said, you got no chance of getting a buyback, my friend.
It didn't look good to me either. It did not look good to me. But so he sent us this email, and apparently the buyback went through.
Wow. And, that's amazing. Well done.
So, right? And so Jason is now the proud owner of a Chevrolet Blazer EV, which he sent us this little picture. RS trim, and it looks pretty good. He says it feels significantly larger than the Mach-E and rides smoother. He does, though, find the loss of Apple CarPlay a bit of an adjustment. He ends his email with PS, Tom's charger reviews have been a great help setting up our home. So that's great to see.
Tom's helps thousands, tens of thousands of people. And just congratulations on your new car. I got the sense that you were kind of emotionally done with the Mustang Mach-E, which a car that you recognize was really good. It's just you had one that was in the shop for ages, and I felt like you've fallen out of love with it a little bit, which is what we said last week on the show. And they did the buyback, and you got a Blazer. Right. Amazing. Well done.
So we also heard back from Scott, who traded in his 2004 Honda Pilot. It had a ton of miles on it. I think 274,000 miles on it. He was like an astronomy guy. He liked to get out in the country. Someone, I don't know if you remember that case. It was like a while back. But he also emailed us last week and said he traded in his 2004 Honda Pilot for a 2023 Hyundai Ioniq 5 SEL.
Ooh,
so he took
some
photos and says he's enjoying having responsive brakes and is looking forward to going camping with it and trying out the V2L feature.
That's nice. That's the gloss version. You get matte versions and gloss versions. You've got a great color there as well and a great spec. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm really glad we could help you out with that. That's why I love to see these cases where, because we never hear back from, we give people advice and we say, hey, we'd do this, but you do you. And it's great to hear from people. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. All right. So let's see if we can find something else for our friends out there today. So our first email comes to us from Shane, and he says, hi, we are a family of 6, 2 grandparents, 2 adults, and a 2 and 5-year-old living in the Bay Area and need a vehicle that can fit us all. or fit all of us. We currently have to drive two cars, a 7-year-old Prius and a 13-year-old Mazda 2, to fit everyone during road trips. Our longest road trips are 260 miles. We drive only 8,000 miles a year, but this will increase as the kids get older. We will make more road trips further away. We plan to charge primarily at home as we have solar. The cars I'm most interested in are a used Tesla Model Y 7-seater and a used Kia EV9. My wife likes the Model Y interior and the fact that it's a smaller car. I like the technology, charging access, efficiency, and reliability. However, I don't like the stiff ride, and I don't want to wait for the Juniper refresh. I also worry our kids will outgrow the Model Y's third row. Fortunately, the grandparents are small, so they could also fit in the third row at around 5 foot and 5 foot one tall. On the other hand, the Kia EV9 is more spacious and has a more comfortable suspension. Our price limit is ideally $40,000. We are ineligible for EV tax credits. Other dark horses for consideration include waiting for the Hyundai Ioniq 9, waiting for used R1S prices to drop, splurging on a Volvo EX90 or Lucid Gravity, and finally a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle with the Mazda CX90. So our most important consideration is having a car that makes family road travel safe, reliable, and enjoyable, and minimizing our family's carbon footprint. Love the podcast and curious to hear all your thoughts. Shane in Santa Cruz, California. All right. So that's quite an email. Third row, looking used, kind of like stuck between two cars, but has all these other considerations or possibilities. So I don't know what do you think here, Martin? And what do you think out there in the audience, actually? What do you have to say this morning?
Look forward to seeing the comments. Well, first of all, I'll waste your time for 60 seconds to say what a shame that you don't get this car where you are, which is the Peugeot E5008. We get it here in Europe. It's now on sale in the UK. Two battery sizes. I think the UK might only get the smaller battery. I'll double check on that. Somebody in the comments can correct me. And this is a great three-row EV. Loads of space in the back. And again, it's one where, you know, when the third row seats are up, yeah, you lose a little bit. But let me show you the interior. Nice interior from the 3008. So anyone who is used to modern Peugeots, that'll look very similar. Very small steering wheel. Very, very light around town as well. Almost too light for some people. Steering feel. I'm not keen on how light the Peugeot steering is and the small steering wheels. But either way, it's what they've done forever. So, like really nice, and then a really decent second row, and a really decent third row as well, and a proper three row car. But there we go. I'm sorry to waste your time on a car you can't have, but always interesting.
I like that. That looks good.
Yeah, always interesting to look at it.
What's the range on that, by the way?
Now the big battery is more than four. I want to say 402 on WLTP. I want to say 402 miles or 416 miles. The big battery is almost 100 kilowatt hours. So
I didn't realize they had it's like a big battery that.
Massive, like 99.8 kilowatt hours usable, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the smaller one's 73 or 75. So again, right. So let's get to our listener and say something useful.
In North America, right.
Yeah, right. So don't get a Model Y 7-seater. There's not many of them around and it's really hard to find one and it's not a 7-seater. I mean, try it, but then discount it almost immediately because it's not a three-row car. I don't know why they bother. It's not like the Model S that had the jump seats that were, they're kind of usable. The third row in the Model Y, I suspect was a marketing exercise or wishful thinking, if I'm being generous. You can't get anyone in the back. I mean, you get your kiddos are 2 and 5. But also, the Model Y is pretty small. And then you can't do a road trip unless you got a roof box or you tow because, No, the Model Y is not a 7-seater. Should never have been known as a 7-seater. Silly idea. So, there's 7 of you, 2 grandparents, 2 kiddos. Six of you. Yeah, yeah. 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 7. So, you want to minimize your carbon footprint. You want a car that's safe for road trips. And you want to buy one under 40 grand. I think you And you mentioned the new Volvo EX90. Beautiful car, by the way. When it arrives, Volvo have already said it's not going to be ready. It's going to be missing software, and they're having issues. Don't get it. Unless you're a massive brand fan, in which case, do it and live with the problems. I'd steer clear of the new Volvos for a bit, and I'm a Polestar owner, and I'm, you know, big fan of all things Swedish, but problems. So I would get a Swedish car. I'd get a Volvo XC90. I'd get an XC90 Recharge with seven seats. It's a proper seven-seater. Those two seats in the back are proper. Nice second row, by the way. You got some climate controls in the second row. It feels great. Big car. Get the Recharge version with the, is it 18 kilowatt hour battery? Either way, look, it will do you for all of your urban journeys. And if you want to reduce your carbon footprint, I think that would be a great way to do it. And yet you've got the engine there when you need to for a couple of years until those seven seaters that you might have talked about, the EX90, the Rivian, maybe the Gravity from Lucid, maybe they're going to be discounted. There'll be some secondhand used ones on the market in a couple of years' time. Have a look at an XC90 Recharge. Fabulous vehicle. Lovely place to be in. Cool little crystal gear shifter as well. There's a name for it as well, isn't there? Like Swedish something. But have a look at that. I know it's not pure EV. I think in your situation, this would be a really good car. What do you think, Dom?
I think, I don't know. I have a problem. I'm not really a big fan of plug-in hybrids, so I'm going to stick to all electric, and I'm going to go a little bit off away from what you're saying. With the Model Y, the third row is really cramped, but they have the kids are 2 years old and 5 years old, and they can just put boosters and car seats in that third row in the Model Y. I wouldn't put my grandparents back there. Not unless, maybe if they were my wife's parents, maybe, I don't know, but not my own. No, I don't think, the third row in the Model Y is like for small kids. So this would be okay. Model Y would be okay for them for a little while until they got a little bit bigger. And you can get some in below your budget. I found there was a like $34,400. I found a Model Y with third row on cars.com with 15,572 miles. So, or you could go just over your budget and get like a 2023 with more years of warranty and super low mileage, like 4,500 miles. So that is, you know, I think it's kind of doable. But like, as you can see in this picture we have up on our screen here, if you're watching this up on YouTube or Twitch, the third row is not, you know, great for or for large adults, for full-size humans. It's way too cramped. So my recommendation really is splurge a little, like he said, mentioned splurging on a Lucid Gravity in the future or an EX90. I would say splurge on the EV9 because I couldn't find anything. I think EV9 is really the perfect vehicle for you all, but I couldn't find anything below 40,000 used, so you're going to have to go a little bit above that. So I found something here for, and I'll share this on the screen. Share screen. Kia EV9, 2024 Kia EV9 Wind. That's the second from the bottom trim. Light is, I believe, the lowest trim, and then it goes Wind. So this is a full-size battery. I believe it might be rear-wheel drive, but 47.5, 578 mile. This is like basically a brand-new car.
That's a really good price on that. Yeah, how depreciation's hit it already? I mean, yeah, I mean, it's over budget, but that's an... it's a proper third row as well.
I mean, it's appreciation like this because the dealers are putting like huge markdowns on them. So a couple thousand here, and then then Kia is also giving the $7,500, you know, tax rebate or tax credit, which I think this will actually earn a tax credit naturally here soon. So that will go away, but it'll be the same, you know, the prices will be basically the same on a retail level. But yeah, I would do that.
I know people say, the third row could be bigger, the front could be bigger and stuff, because for what is a very, very large vehicle, but a great second row, and you might only use the third row occasionally, and you've got small ones. So that's a great suggestion, Dom.
The EV9, the third row in the EV9 is great. no worries about your grandparents being unhappy back there if you put them back there or whatever. Mm. So, yeah, that's just the kind of way I would just splurge now. And it's not like splurging the $80,000 like if you waited for the Lucid Gravity, which, you know, I think it's going to be a wonderful car. And I'd prefer to have that, I think, over the EV9, really. But this is a great car and you save you tens of thousands of dollars. So cool. I would go that way. All right. How about y'all out there? Ready to go? Lori Allen says, what Dom says. Thank you, Lori. Appreciate that.
All right. Jeremy says, an EV9 rolled past me yesterday. I'm noticing them out there. And it's true. Yeah, I'm seeing them around as well. Very imposing. Very big vehicle here on British roads. But yeah, I think they do stand out in a good way.
Right. I recently drove one 800 miles from Fort Collins to Las Vegas and back, and you know it's great family vehicle, lots of room. I think it's got wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto and all that kind of stuff. All right,
Mark's in the comments is saying he's happy with his EV9, loved the Ioniq 6, but needed more room. Yeah, it's interesting
for his large dogs. Mm. The dog guy, that's great.
Hey, yeah.
All right. So our next email comes to us from Tyler. He says, hi, guys. We're a 2 EV family with a toddler and a large dog and a second kid coming in the fall. We've owned a Hyundai Ioniq 5 for 2.5 years and 30,000 miles, which fits our life perfectly. Over 15,000 of those miles were road trips, and many more were trips to the mountains nearby. Our second car is a 2016 Nissan Leaf. We had been thinking about a used Kia EV9 or Chevy Silverado EV to replace the Leaf at some point. So now I'm debating either jumping on one of these crazy lease deals or buying a used second car, likely a second EGMP car in either case, but open to other non-Teslas. We don't have a specific budget, but we're not big spenders. I expect the 2022 Hyundai Ioniq 5 prices will come down even further after the 2025 model year is out. We likely don't qualify for the used tax credit this year on income, but likely will next year. Risky timing with the election, but don't strictly need the tax credit. On the other hand, lease deals are appealing as a kick the can down the road option. We're both interested in the Ioniq 6, which is still more expensive used, while leases on it are cheaper. Leasing would give us some time to decide whether we want to do a 7-seater or a truck at some point. But we've never leased before and have questions. Could you put a trailer hitch on a leased car? Are we going to get slammed with fees for sunscreen on the interior? Or is that solvable with a $200 trip to the detailer at the end of the lease? Even with crazy cheap leases, are we going to spend quite a bit more leasing then we'd lose to depreciation on an already cheap Ioniq 5? Thanks. Love the show, Tyler. All right. So, Martin, leasing, and the EV9 is kind of interesting. The EV9 is up in the mix here again, as well as, not necessarily eligible for the tax credit. Another small, not so much a consideration in leasing, because if you lease the vehicles, the dealers can still take the tax credit to lower those lease payments, because it goes through them and not you as the lessee. They're kind of considered the buyer, so that's a nice little loophole to take advantage of that incentive. So, what you got?
I do like the idea of taking advantage of some of these deals that are out there at the minute. If you have a look at something like this, which is an EV6, obviously you've got the Hyundai Ioniq 5, so you know how good this platform is. And you look at some of the deals that are out there at the minute, 0% APR. You know, we're in a very high interest environment right now. And you get 0% for 4 years. Obviously, they're giving you some cash on this because it hasn't got the federal tax credit. And so Kia do kick that in as well if you get delivery by early September. Looking at some of the lease deals as well. Now, obviously, different people qualify for different ones. $209 a month for 2 years. And there's $4,000 down. So that's going to be, what, $8,000 or $9,000, I suppose, isn't it, over a couple of years. And so you need to work out, well, is it going to, if I buy a used Ioniq 5, am I going to lose four and a half grand a year on that? And you don't know because you're looking into a crystal ball. And so I've always steered clear of car financing in recent years. Anyway, I'm 46 now. And I'd say the last 15 years of my car ownership, I did it in my 20s and stuff when I was in my first jobs and I was, I wanted to drive a nice car and had no money, but certainly maybe 20 years, I've always bought used cars because I prefer to own my stuff, if that makes sense. Even though I can't get the latest, greatest thing, I'm always mindful of living, you know, within my means and stuff. So I don't like to get involved too much in these. There's whole YouTube channels, whole blogs and stuff devoted to, well, you know, you can save $20 here and get this lease and all that kind of stuff. But as you say, I'm getting the feeling from what you write, you know, the kids have got sunscreen on and stuff. I've got two kiddos as well, 2 and 6. And the idea that if they wreck the car, I'm annoyed, but they're wrecking my car. They're not smushing ice cream into something that ultimately I've got then got to make right before you hand back. There was a period of time when I wanted to test drive a bunch of EVs that I just couldn't get, and that the best way to do it was Onto, which have now gone bust, I think, but it was like an EV subscription company over here. And I had a few cars from them just because there was a bunch of stuff came out that I really wanted to drive. And I just remember the hassle of handback day when I'd have it for a month or two, and then the guy would come to collect the car. It was just, you know, it was all-inclusive rental and stuff. And they might still be trading. I'd say they've gone bust. They might still be trading. I know they entered into some sort of either, you know, scheme, insolvency or whatever. You can check. But the business didn't work. And like, they went over with a fine-tooth comb. And I always got away with it because I treated them really nicely, not my car. But, you know, ultimately, it's not your car. And I'm getting that feeling from you. Now, lots of people do lease and they're fine with it. And they go and they have spent $1,000 at the end of it, have all the chips done, have all the dings and dents done, have it detailed. And so I think you're better off going for a used EV and riding the risk of depreciation. I think, and this is not, you know, anything guaranteed, I suspect we have seen the worst of EV depreciation over the last 2 years. I suspect, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I got excited when I saw Chevy Silverado EV. So, I was thinking of a situation. Let me just throw this up on the screen real quick. But so I was thinking of a situation with the kids and kind of worrying about, I think we edited this email a little bit, but there was, you know, things about, you know, Cheerios here and there, or like you say, you know, your kids' ice cream smushed into the seats. This is the work truck spec. You don't have to worry about getting this thing dirty with kids. It's not as nice of an interior as like the upper, you know, regular retail spec Silverado EVs down the line, but you can take a hose and hose this thing out if you need to. Basically, I'm not sure exactly. Don't do that. Let's just check the. but I'm gonna say is, you know, it's like thick vinyl seats, you know, heavy floor mats. It's really made for getting dirty. And, you know, you can see this interior. This is not like a glamorous, you know, it's very utilitarian, but it's a Ford. This particular example is $65,000, basically no miles on it, 6,128 miles. Mm. So this is kind of where they're starting at right now. And this is a 4WT. So with 450 miles of EPA range. So you're probably going to be able to travel 400 miles on this thing, basically, like on the highway, before you'd have to recharge back up again, which is pretty decent, I think. You know, it's like this is a road tripping machine. We took these across the country. We took like four electric pickups that are available for sale in the country right now. We drove them from Jacksonville to San Diego, California, on the out-of-spec channel for the out-of-spec. Motorine channel? Mm. And this was the winner. You know, it had the big range. It charges like a beast. And there's no catching this thing even. Right. So that I was just kind of taken by that option. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the best option right now for you, but I liked it a lot.
So they said that they like the Ioniq 6. It's cheaper to lease because the used ones are holding their prices. Bearing in mind, spy shots are flying around now of the new Ioniq 6, which is about the right cadence of refresh. The EV6, for instance, that came out in 2022 and it got its new look in 2025. And so the Ioniq 6 is going to get a new front end and a new back end. I mean, the silhouette will be the same. And it's not a rear end I'm in love with, but you know, whatever. That'll stay the same, but they are going to freshen it up next year, which will depress prices of the ones out at the moment. But that might be a year away by the time it comes to various markets. It was seen testing over the weekend and stuff. So I wouldn't hang on that. And finally, a subject that I do need to understand more on to answer your question properly, which was, depending on the result of the election on the 5th of November, will Trump get rid of all the EV incentives? Well, a week ago, I would have said yes. But over the last couple of days, not only was he gifted a Cybertruck by an influencer, controversial influencer, streamer, who gave him a Cybertruck. They did the interview inside the Cybertruck, and Donald Trump said, this isn't Elon. He said, this isn't Elon. And then they played with the big screen. And then Trump subsequently spoke about EVs and said, I love them now because Elon has persuaded me. So I guess he's a man of principle and a man of standing. Donald Trump sticks by his beliefs, apart from when Elon Musk gives him his, you know, campaign fund, $40 million a month. And now Trump loves EVs. So I'm a lot less worried about that because, I mean, yeah, we can be cynical if we want and say, wouldn't it be nice if politicians had principles, all of them? But by the sounds of it, Trump's going to just leave EVs alone now. And you might have Elon Musk to thank for that, and either Musk's super PAC and the fundraising, or whether he's giving to Trump himself. By the sounds of it, over the last couple of days, Trump has really softened on EVs. And I suspect might just kind of forget about, because he used to use them as a campaign tool to bash. Very popular with his base, very popular with the crowd who go along to his big rallies. I suspect, you know, if the love-in with Elon continues, there's rumors of a big interview, I think. They read that today, like a big Musk-Trump kind of one-on-one on social media. I suspect that will just stop being an issue and Trump will suddenly love EVs. So that might not be a problem going forward, but I need to fully understand what are the implications of, you know, various different results of your election. So for a Brit, I talked a lot about American politics. Sorry.
Sorry. I think one thing about the election, though, so it happens in November, but it doesn't, any changes over and any change to legislation or tax credits wouldn't happen until sometime in the next year anyway. So that gives you a few more months of breathing room or time to make a decision. Either way, but like you said, I think the EV credits are probably going to be okay regardless of the winner of the election. But looking at this thing again, so I mentioned the Silverado EV. Another option I thought was, they like the Ioniq 5 so much, why not two of them?
So I mean, why not? Why not?
I mean, I've seen, there was a house around the corner from me that had for the longest time two Fiat 500s in their looks. It's kind of cute. I love the Fiat 500 anyway. Like they look great. And then two of them in two different colors sitting in this driveway. It was just like, it was kind of cute. $24,000. You can pick up a 22 Hyundai Ioniq 5 SE. I believe that's the base spec. 13, you know, a modest amount of miles, 13,568 miles on this particular example. Yeah. It's not bad. So that's one way to go. Talking about the EV6, not the EV6, sorry, the Ioniq 6.
Yeah.
Right. So I would say don't buy the Ioniq 6, even used, because the prices aren't especially low on that. I think the Ioniq 5, so there's a bigger supply of them out there, so more supply,
loads of
lower
of
prices.
Yeah, it's loads
yeah,
of those
Ioniq
around.
6 is just a bit harder to find at that price point. And this $23,993 mark, that's also eligible for the $4,000 tax used EV credit. Don't think they're eligible for that in this case, but for those who are... And it was hard to find an Ioniq 6 below the magic $25,000 mark. So I would not, plus the I would say if you want the IONIQ 6, if you're curious about that car, lease it. I think right now the lease for the SE trim, that's the base trim, is $227 a month with $3,987 down. Yeah, but I liked your EV6. Your EV6 lease, I think, was better than this one. So
I mean, yeah, you can, but you can just write $4,500 a year off as car rental, you know.
Right.
And that, and you can buy, I know you can do lease buyouts at the end and depreciation and things like that. So if, I don't get involved in that game because I don't really understand it all. So, but if you do, it might be worth looking at the lease.
Right. Here's the screen for the leases on the Hyundai site. 2024 IONIQ 6 SE starting at 42, and yeah, the SE 227 a month with the $3,987 at signing for, this is for 3 months, so that's almost 3 years.
Yep.
For those payments, or you could go for the standard range if you don't need a lot of range. You could drop that, save like $40 a month or whatever. Which, you know, I don't know, but I still kind of like that EV6 idea over the IONIQ 6, just because it's just a slightly more SUV shape, and I think with the dogs and the gear and everything, I think it'd just be more handy. Right. What do you think? It's a good place to leave it.
Yeah.
All right. Mark's saying that's a damn good price for the IONIQ 5.
It really is. It's a lot of car.
Oh, Mark is saying, Dom, when you get a chance, will you mention what you didn't like about the EV9 HD2? I think he's talking about the ADAS system, like the has a self-steering.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, automatic cruise control, dynamic cruise control. I just didn't like the way the steering worked for me. And it wouldn't, it's really a hands-on system because, it's relatively competent until it isn't, you know, and there's no warning that it's going off. It's not going to be able to handle whatever turn, you know, so you really got to keep your hands on it. And I just, you know, it would nudge a bit here and there. I wasn't comfortable with it. My co-driver on the trip was comfortable with it and used it all the time.
I like HDA too. And I find that the nag, however long the nag is a little bit longer than some. And, you know, you can just rest your hand gently on it until it nags you. And then you've got some time to apply a bit more force to the steering wheel. But I like HDA too. Especially on some of the roads over here where it's mapped. I found it worked brilliantly.
Right. I expect it's going to improve a little bit. I found myself wrestling with it. And maybe that's a me problem, I think, because like you like it, other people like it. So I think it's kind of an individual sort of thing, really, this self-steering. I remember when I first tried, you know, autopilot in the Tesla, I also, man, I did not like it at all. I didn't like just... Because I'm a driver, I used to be a commercial driver, so I've got over a million miles easily, and I just like steering myself. And when I go into a turn, you know, I kind of take the inside track just a little bit sometimes, or you know, at the time the autopilot was like straight in the middle, and sometimes it felt like it was going a little on the outside of the turn, which I've just made me uncomfortable inside. So, but you know, other people tolerate that well. So again, it's a bit of a me problem. Some people will like it, some people won't. But let's move on real quick. We're already over 30 minutes. We have one more email, but this one shouldn't take too long. Our final email comes to us from JC. He says, I'm looking for an EV for my son. We live in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California, where gas is expensive and electricity is reasonably priced. I have been trying to snag a Hertz Tesla Model 3, but those are sold as soon as they hit the lot. I would like to pay $22,000 or less and ideally find one that qualifies for the $4,000 tax rebate. I would like the 2022 Model 3 standard range because I figured that the LFP battery will last forever and therefore it would be fine with higher mileage, say up to 70,000 miles. And I can buy winter tires for traction. They're rear-wheel drive cars. And Teslas are super easy to use on road trips. My questions, is there any other EV that would be a better choice? If not, any clue on finding a standard range Model 3 that fits my budget? Longtime listener, first time emailer, JC. All right. Can I start this one off, Martin? You mind?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Well, I would just say forget Hertz. Just
yeah,
use
definitely.
A, like a yeah. That's just like asking for problems, really. Just not discounting if like if you could see a Hertz car like super low mileage on it, maybe it'd be fine. But I would just use like an online car shopping site like cars.com or car gurus or Tempest or whatever. And yeah, just use that to track down a vehicle. So I was looking at them last night and they found a 2021. Let me just bring this up on the screen for you all. A 2021 Tesla Model 3, $22,900. So just a bit above your budget, but 21,000. I wanted to keep the miles low. You know, I don't want to buy a, what was this, 70, up to 70,000 miles. Like you can get down into like the 13,000s before any tax credits. I'm not sure if you can use a full tax credit when you get down there because some of it goes away. If it gets the cars get super cheap, then that $4,000 amount kind of lowers a bit. But you definitely get the full amount here. So it'd be at the top of your budget, but it's like a low mileage. It's a 2021 Standard Range Plus. Looks good in black. And there's a few of these out there. But if you raise that, if you want to raise that the mileage limit when you go looking on the sites, on the shopping sites, you can find plenty that are lower than this in the Standard Range Plus. There's lots of them out there. My alternative suggestion is a Hyundai Ioniq 5 SE. Shopping around, find one in your budget pretty easy. $23,000, $24,000. So this is a bit above the budget again, but eligible for the $4,000 tax credit. Only 13,000 miles. And I think it's got, actually off the top of my head, I'm not sure what the range is off the top of my head. 77 kilowatt hour battery. So it's going to have, I think it's going to have more range than the Tesla Model 3. And, you know, I think this battery is going to last, you know, in 200,000 miles. This car should, I think, I haven't done the math, so you correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. I think it'll still have, you know, more range to available to it than the Tesla LFP would. But so that's another option. And then I had an alternative option as well to that, an alternative to the alternative. just because, you know, why not consider some other, you know, the Tesla is like the easy choice, really, because and it's a decent choice for a used vehicle. 2021 Volkswagen ID4, first edition, 12,000 miles, 22. So it's right in that same kind of ballpark as the Tesla, but with slightly lower miles. And this is the first edition, so I believe that gets all the stuff. And it's a rural drive only. It's a bit slow. So if your son is like in his teens or maybe early 20s and maybe reckless or likes driving super fast, this might be a safer vehicle because he can't accelerate quite as quickly. I think it's like a 0 to 8 seconds, 0 to 60 on the rural drive. The 2021, the 2025 Volkswagen ID4s are a lot quicker, but these old ones are a bit more pokey and it's got lots of nannies, so they keep you under control if you go into the turns super hot. You know, I think it's for a young kid, it might just be a safer choice just from that perspective. What do you think, Martin?
Yeah, that's what I'd assumed when they said I'm looking for my son. I'm like, oh, I wonder how old. I mean, it could be that they're 30 and you want to get them a car. Sure. But I'd assume that they were perhaps in the beginning of their car career, as it were. And that's where I really like the Tesla Model 3 because they're cheap as chips. And I think you are in that ballpark. Don't get a Hertz one. And I initially thought, those Hertz deals might be quite good. And then I kind of thought about all the people online that went, oh, I just hired a car from Hertz. And when I turned up, they gave me a Tesla and, an electric car and it wasn't charged. And they weren't driven by people who love EVs. I think they were rental. They were rentals. You know what I mean? So don't get Hertz Model 3 unless you really get a stellar deal. But look, Model 3, cheapest chips. I think that budget, 22K with a $4,000 federal tax credit, 2-year-old car, LFP pack. I think you're right on. I'm not in the US, but I'd look at cars.com and I could find some great cars in that ballpark. So I'd go with that. Dom's already mentioned the Ioniq 5, really good. Mach-E, really good. The thing about the Model 3 is increasingly they are just the, you know, the Toyota Corolla of 2024, and they're everywhere. Part supply is out there, and you can't always get... I'm not saying that a young driver is going to dent it or crash it. I'm just saying that part supply is a factor. But my point being, check the insurance. I don't know what your insurance industry is like over there. Over here, young people pay a huge premium for being a young driver, often with either a black box or some sort of driver monitoring in the boot. But look, I had the old gen Kona 64 kilowatt hour battery for a year. And I loved that vehicle. And when I went to get a Model 3, my insurance as a mid-40s homeowner, live in suburbia, it's car is garaged, was twice the price of the Kona. Same price, similar price car. Like, why is the Tesla twice the price? So again, it could be that where you are, and I'd like to do a deep dive into the insurance industry. I mean, like, why was the Tesla £1,000 a year? It's like, maybe what's that, $1,400 for you a year insurance, when my Kona was like 450 quid a year. You know, is it the repair costs? Is it the way Tesla build their vehicles? Is it the prices from Tesla? I don't know. I'd like to find out why the insurance. So before you do anything, I would go online, get some virtual quotes, give your insurance broker a call, whoever you use, and just start, because that could be the define. You could end up with a Nissan Leaf, because Leafs are so cheap to insure. And you could he could drive that for a year or two if he's not road tripping and doesn't want chatter mode. So if he is younger, please start with insurance and then work your way out according to what car you would like. Unless you've, you know, it's not an issue, but it sounds like you're shopping for budget. And so I'd start with insurance.
That is a good shout out there, Martin. I don't know what other people, I just did some shopping, some insurance shopping for my own car and saved like $300 or $200. But because it's high, and even the cheaper rate is like higher than I was hoping. It's like,
really,
my Tesla Model 3 is in here. It's expensive, you know, unless you got to really shop around and find the right dealers, you know, or the right, you know, insurance company to go with.
Right.
Which, you know, I feel like that changes all the time too. You know, it's, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, insurance is definitely though a consideration. Great show. Somebody mentioned in the comments, Brennan mentions use Polestar number or Polestar 2 could be an option as well. So I thought Polestar 2, which is what you have, right, Martin?
Yeah, the insurance is half the price of a Tesla. Again, I pay about £450, maybe that's $700 also, a year on my insurance. Half the price of an equivalent Model 3 long range. Like, why? Why is it half the price of a long range? I don't understand.
Yeah. So I just did a little, really quick little look. 2022 Polestar 2 long range single motor. So this is $24,899. It's eligible for the $4,000 tax credit. So $20,900 super low miles, like a brand new car basically. And these are nice. Like Martin will tell you all day long how nice these things are.
Feels like a proper car.
Yeah,
it feels very analogous to a. And I'm old, so it just feels like they've put, you know what, the thing about Polestar, attention to detail, my friend. If you are, you know, first of all, I can't believe your son would get it. If it's one of his first cars, amazing. Great thing about a Polestar, loads of thought went into it. You can tell that Thomas Ingenlath, the boss there, is a designer by trade, because I still find after 6 months, nice little touches, choice of fabrics, like nice little things that you touch and look at. It's the opposite to a Tesla, which is all technology and brilliant and the best at so many things. And the Polestar, it's just a really nice place to be.
Yeah.
But that big center console, you know, you are wedged in. Some people don't like the way their knee rests up against it. So go and try one.
Right. All right. So I think that brings us to the end of our show. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. It's great to have all these comments in here and everyone helping us out. I love it. If you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at batterybargains at batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.